Joining us today is Ken Patton from the Cumberland Mountain Civil War Roundtable, a historical organization dedicated to sparking interest and sharing knowledge about the American Civil War. Membership is open to all, and their mission is to deepen understanding of this pivotal period in our history. Ken, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Personally excited. We were talking off air. The Civil War, the history in general, but really specific. So this is your story, and I told you off air, we're going to do something you may didn't think we're going to do. We're going to start at age birth with you. Who are you? Where'd you come? Like the Billy Graham thing. Who are you? Where'd you come from? Where are you going? But let's talk. Give us a little brief history of you growing up, how you got involved, and eventually into this love that you have for the history and the Civil War.
Well, I was born in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
I lived there for only 3 years when my parents moved to Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
My interest in school growing up was very much oriented toward history, not just American history or Civil War history, but all kinds of history. And if you lived in Memphis, you got a decidedly Southern point of view.
Sure.
Things that you would focus on locally might have been Nathan Bedford Forrest or the Battle of Memphis and the Mississippi River.
The history is just
an amazing amount.
Amazing, yeah.
And then, of course, you have the Battle of Shiloh.
Yep.
Heard about 100 miles to the east. And like all kids, they took me there. But that was most of what I was doing. And we were not a family that had the resources to do a lot of traveling and that sort of thing. But I read as many books as I could possibly read about the Civil War growing up. Then when I went to college at what was then Southwestern in Memphis, it's now Rhodes.
Rhodes, great school.
Got a degree in economics, followed up by an MBA at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I would say during much of my college years and for the next 5 years or 6 years after graduating from college, it was focused on work.
Oh, sure.
I moved to Nashville for my first job as a national bank examiner, mm-hmm. part of the United States Treasury Department. That's where I met my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Things begin to change, though, when you get married. But there was this phase of my life that went on for about 5 years. It's noted in the notes as BC, known as before children.
Amen.
So I had some time at that point to begin to read again.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up Shelby Book. Foote's three-volume series.
Yep.
I read all of that. Then things changed again. Work was hectic. Children came, and for many years, from the early 1980s, for about 25 years, was entirely a focus on children and in building a business.
Oh, sure.
Two of us founded a company called Mercer Capital in Memphis.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I was there for 25 years. I was president, owner of it. And we built one of the largest and most influential business valuation companies in the United States,
mm-hmm.
out of Memphis, Tennessee, which was really quite an accomplishment, one that I've been very proud of over the years. But it involved a lot of work.
Sure.
And but my life began to change around in the early 2000 period when we met a travel agent,
mm-hmm.
who introduced us to and gave us to travel on a far greater scale than anything we had ever dreamed about doing,
mm-hmm.
and doing it with people that we got to know who lived around the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the next 15 years or so, the blur changed from just working toward retirement to literally traveling all over the world.
What an education that is, obviously.
We have been to all seven continents twice, as mm-hmm. I noted to you, 83 countries.
Wow.
A vast number of experiences that were incredibly memorable of different kinds of travel over all of these years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just leads to an entirely different perspective on how to look at the world and what is going on in the world. I retired in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
We had always planned to leave Memphis for a couple of reasons. The family had either moved away or died.
Oh, sure.
The things change. The neighborhood changes.
Sure.
Everything changes. So you get this golden opportunity to sort of start over, if that might be a way of saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had owned a place up here in the 1990s. We were very familiar with the Crossville, the Cumberland Plateau area.
Oh, sure.
And so we looked here and other mountain communities. We were not beach people, but we wanted to look in these types of places. And so we elected to come to Fairfield Glade part-time in 2012, full-time in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the history picks back up again, though.
Okay.
I met some people, met a guy on a hike who was from Memphis. Did not know him, but he was history buff. And he was telling me about the Civil War Roundtable in Cookeville. And he asked me if I wanted to go, and I'm thinking, okay. I'm still very new to the area, but I've always liked this. This might be, I have no idea what the concept of a roundtable is, but let's go. Ended up with a couple of us. We were coming to every meeting over here, and it was primarily one that had been founded 7 or 8 years earlier, I suppose, by faculty members at Tennessee Tech.
Yes.
And so from that reason, it had pretty academic orientation. Most of their speakers were from the academic world. And
mm-hmm.
It had
mm-hmm.
a typical formatting of a speaker followed by Q&A. But the topics were, sometimes they were broadly known, if you will. Talking mm-hmm. about the Battle of Gettysburg or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And other times, very esoteric. But
mm-hmm.
I learned something that was very important as a philosophy about being involved in an organization like this. Mm-hmm. Never decide to go to the meeting based on your interest in the topic. Go to the meeting.
That's great.
All the time.
That's
and
it.
You will get a lot out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, a lot of things happen.
A lot
of information is.
It's, you have no idea.
Yeah.
I just had no idea is what a friend of mine says about these things. So, for better or for worse, Cookeville began to wind down. Always with leadership transition is a major issue in
no
all
question.
Round tables.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about 90 of them around the country, and we have the same issues. But leadership transition is huge. And so, unfortunately, Cookeville ceased to be an opportunity. Well, in 2017, there was a fellow in Fairfield who wanted to start a roundtable. And he had a lot of history with the roundtable in Franklin, Tennessee,
which is
very successful.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided and got 10 or 12 people together at his house, and he thought, we can have a roundtable. I heard about it but didn't really have much interest in it because he's still coming over here.
Mm-hmm.
And then things happened, the round table. I got invited to go to that one. I went to one very small meeting, maybe 20 people were there. And they were just doing the things you do to get a round table started.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in, I guess it was late 2018, Dick Sammer, who I will mention by name and who deserves enormous credit here for starting this round table,
mm-hmm.
Felt the need to move back to Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the directors of the roundtable approached me and said, would you like to be president? So I'm going from peripheral member to being president.
Be careful.
Overnight.
That's right.
That happens overnight.
That's
so
right.
So I have been president since 2019 for all of the things that we have been doing.
Okay. Yeah, what a great we've been involved in nonprofit volunteer organizations. Be careful what you wish for, and be careful, and sometimes you don't go to a meeting, that's when you're elected president.
It's very dangerous not to show up, yeah.
But we were talking off air, what a fascinating history and interest and this whole topic in this region. And there's been a renaissance, an emergence of interest. Ken Burns, you mentioned Shelby Foote. We're going to leap it, but people who are really done a good job of reintroducing and introducing to some this whole topic.
Yes,
from a simple, it was all about slavery. Well, yeah, it was, but I mean, it was more to it than that. And so you really learned the details and you learned the history. So so you're right in the middle of it right now.
And we are. It's our roundtable falls into the grouping of Civil War roundtables. So we are a historical organization, historical
sure.
stud. We're not a reenactors, and we're not a heritage group and that sort of thing. But one of the things is some roundtables say we're going to study the Civil War, which was fought between 1861 and 1865. That gives you plenty of material to work with.
Oh, sure.
We take a much more expansive view of that. We're going to go back to at least 1830.
The factors that led up to it,
yes. And then we're going to take you out at least to 1890. We've been out to 1913 one time for the 50th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. But when you encompass this very lengthy period, you begin to have to address, well, what were the causes? What were the circumstances? Okay, then what did happen? And start spending a little more time with what was the real aftermath of the war. Mm-hmm. And there's just periods in there, particularly Reconstruction, that is very painful to study. And we're not sure how to address all of that, but it is incredibly informative, particularly about today, I think. Mm-hmm. But the way we have been able to organize it, and I'll digress to give you a little more history here, there are three roundtables that work together.
Okay.
There's one in Knoxville and one in Kingsport.
Okay.
And we do a lot of our programming together with them. So a speaker will come and do three consecutive nights.
Mm.
Most of the time they start in Kingsport and end with us, and sometimes they start with us and end in Kingsport. Now, why is all this important? It's very difficult for any roundtable to attract really high-quality speakers by yourself, no matter where you
are.
But if you have the umph of three of us, we can do a great deal. Now, we tell people around the country that, you know, we're in Crossville. Where is that? It's the middle of nowhere. So how can you have one of the largest, most active roundtables in the United States in the middle of nowhere? Well, part of this is that we have great programming, but working together, we can now reach all the way into the eastern United States to attract speakers, and we often do. So then you start talking about, obviously, there are places like Virginia and their schools and those sorts of things that have highly accomplished historians, highly accomplished park rangers and that sort of thing. So you have that going for you. We're sitting on the edge there. Well, we're just enough now to the west that we can go to the Western Theater. We can get people from Mississippi, West Tennessee. These are extraordinarily talented people and well-known people. So,
and you have triggered my imagination and questions, but we're going to take a short break.
Okay.
Come right back. See, I'm enjoying this so much, I'm not paying attention to the timer here. But Ken Patton, Civil War Roundtable, back soon. Ken Patton, the director of the Cumberland Mountain Civil War Roundtable. Great. Going to have a great time. Learning a lot. What a great topic. And, Ken, my job is to say, carry on. I'm going to try to listen and learn. So let's pick up where we left off.
I will pick up that we are far enough to the west with our roundtable that we can, on our own accord, look for speakers in the Western Theater, which is Mississippi and West Tennessee. There are some amazing scholars who live in that part of the world. So all of this adds up from a programming perspective to achieve the goal of helping people understand the war and so forth and so on. But the subtitle to all of this is, we want it to be the finest quality adult education experience in the Upper Cumberland.
Love that.
We're going to deliver at the highest possible level.
Quality.
So we can do that. And when you take our speakers and you compare them to any other roundtable or virtually any other historical meeting about the Civil War, the folks who speak in Crossville are speaking at those types of places. And so the speakers we have for our monthly meetings are very well-known people. They've written books. They have done all the things that scholars do. And then we have the park ranger groups that come who have much more hands-on version. Jim Ogden from Chickamauga speaks to us many times. And just some of the foremost people in the country. Now, another way we've started to deliver our program is with living historians. Now, a living historian is an unusual creature. It's a person who can take on the persona of the individual that they're representing. Now, a real living historian has two parts to their program. One is, I call theater. It's a performance. They come out, they know what they're going to talk about it, and they do it. Lots of people can perform, some pretty well. The other part is the Q&A. So if you stop the program and you say, all right, from this point forward, you may ask the visitor, who might be Robert E. Lee, Ulysses S. Grant, or whoever, ask them whatever you want to ask them.
Wow.
Now we also separate the wheat and the chaff. We have been very blessed to have tremendous support from Dr. Kurt Fields in Memphis, Tennessee, who portrays Ulysses S. Grant. He is the foremost living historian for Grant. I think he might be the foremost living historian in the United States, presenting anybody.
Wow.
And we could talk
about that. That's pretty tall cotton.
That's tall cotton, and we could deliver that because he has been up here so many times, and people just love to come see it because it's an immersion experience. It's not listening to somebody. We will now take you to wherever we want you to be. The Shiloh battlefield or to his home in St. Louis. We're going to take you someplace that you don't get to go otherwise. And we could talk about him the rest of the day, but having people like him who come here and who want to be here is really important to us. It changes the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the other way we do this is we've had some really, really good field trips.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Battle of Shiloh, for example, for several days. General Grant led the tour. We just got back from Chickamauga, where in Chattanooga, and where Jim Ogden did a wonderful job of doing that type of program from a park ranger's perspective. So we have a lot of different ways to people to interact with us and for us to interact with
our
members.
So it really comes alive. You're bringing history alive.
Very much so. We want it to be alive.
You feel as though you are there and at that era, and that's exciting.
Claire Barton will be here next summer. You know, but I always tell people the reports that these people are dead are really premature.
That's right.
We had Mark Twain was here. Last year, we had Bobby Horton.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's a musician. He scored the music for almost every Ken Burns program that has ever been done.
Whoa.
Now, we think of him as a balladeer, a folk singer about the Civil War, and he is all of those things. But he has done work for all of Ken Burns. He's done HBO specials. He's done all kinds of things. This is at a really, really high level. He performed in Crossville. And so we're trying to bring in people like that.
Now, you perform. I'm maybe jumping ahead. Where are these events that were they held in? You say you go to Chickamauga, but you said Crossfield. You have are the events here in our Upper Cumberland region?
We have most of the meetings occur at Christ Lutheran Church in Fairfield Glade.
Okay,
they have a wonderful facility, and part of their outreach, and I will brag on them here, is to reach out in the community and make their facilities available to people to do things.
That's great,
and it is wonderful what they do. But most of the meetings are there. Occasionally, for conflict reasons, particularly around Easter, we find an alternative site or we change our schedule a little bit for that. Then we will have a ticketed event, which is typically at the Palace Theater in downtown Crossville.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So that's where Grant and Robert E. Lee and Mark Twain and people like that have made their presentations. And we have some other things that are maybe going to get a little bit bigger than that.
Hmm.
And then, of course, the field trips have been to Nashville, to Shiloh, to Chickamauga, up to Mill Springs. The battlefield sites are
sure.
That sort of thing. So all different kinds of programming designed to
public's
attract.
Invited to.
Absolutely. Everything is open to the public.
Some are ticketed, some is not. But
Most are. We have a due structure that's really interesting. $25 for a year for get to see 10 programs. Yes.
Okay,
it's $35 for a couple. And if someone wants to just try us out, they can come to the first meeting free. And we have a few people that just pay a $5 fee because they're snowbirds or something like that. So it's very inexpensive. I call it, we do everything where we price for participation. I want to have it priced in such a way so we get the maximum number of people who will be there.
Sure.
And then, of course, we have it like a ticketed event grant and that sort of thing.
Yeah. You know, I'm digressing a little bit, but spent my whole Fairfield Glade. What a resource. We have some of the most talented people from around the world. What, it used to be 10,000 people were there when I was there. I used to be in Athens, Tennessee. This isn't about me. When Fairfield Glade started back in, I think, the 70s. But
early 70s.
To have that kind of talent there in anything you want to do, there is a group. I mean, there are individuals who are authorities on whatever, just accessing those folks and getting them. I know they're involved, but getting them even more involved. And history is obviously y'all have done a great job with that.
The level of knowledge at the individual level about the Civil War in our roundtable is really quite high.
Oh, yeah.
And since I'm not really a historian, it's almost intimidating. But part of what's interesting about ours is we are, as we were discussing earlier, we are a border state. A border community. And as you know, most people who live in Fairfield are retirees from up north.
Yeah, sure. So they're experiencing and bringing their experiences.
Right, right. And so most of the members are from up north. People think you're down south, you're doing some type of, I don't know, Confederate organization. There are not many of us who are literally from the south the whole time. So,
sure,
but
sure.
It's a great mixture of people.
Boy,
who,
that adds to the diversity of
yeah.
experience and
great stories.
Yeah.
Great personal stories.
So they're, that's exciting.
It is. It's very exciting.
And we have a Sons of Confederate Veterans and Sons of Union Veterans here in the Upper Cumberland. Is that, I mean, there are organizations.
They're heritage,
smaller, little.
Right. They're heritage groups that have their own place.
But it's not just.
They're different than us, but they all have a place.
I'd say in the Deep South, there aren't many Sons of Union Veterans. But in the urban areas out there,
they
are.
They probably are. Yeah. Yeah.
That is fascinating. Yeah. Fascinating. We're winding down the second. Say anything in the last 30 seconds or so, or you want to parlay that too, or we'll come back and talk about the future, talk about what's going on.
No, I think we've covered to the present here pretty well, and so I do have a few comments I would like to make about
that's great.
What's going on.
Well, we're
going
to come right back. We're talking Civil War Roundtable. Back soon. Well, we're back. Got a fascinating topic with a fascinating individual leader, Ken Patton, the Cumberland Mountain Civil War Roundtable. One of three, I understand, in the state, region, this part of the country.
There are probably six or seven of us in the region because two or three in Nashville.
But there are three that you have focused on.
Together with, yes.
So I'm going to be quiet again. I'm fascinated hearing your stories. And let's pick up where we left off and just go. You're on stage. You're there.
To think about the future just a little bit, we have 200 members.
Okay.
And we are averaging about 110 at each meeting. These are very strong numbers for a typical roundtable. We want to continue to grow. We think we have plenty of opportunity to do that. We want to continue to strengthen our programming by bringing in more and more people from all around, really the eastern United States.
Sure.
There's whole cadres of people in the north that we've never brought here.
Mm-hmm.
And we think we can do that by continuing to work with the other two roundtables as well as strengthening our own position. We're starting for the first time to play a role in the Cumberland area in terms of helping promote and memorialize the Civil War itself. We finally have the financial resources. For example, the Military Museum in Crossville has just reopened, so we're part of helping them redo the Civil War exhibit. And there are other things going on like that we want to be involved in. So it's always been a goal to have a community involvement, but now our resources and our abilities are now coming together with real opportunities in the community. So we want to be much more involved in doing that sort of thing. But I think we have, as well as we have done with programming, and we have done fabulously well, just to tell you how I really feel about it, we have some real opportunities. And I think the future is very bright for that, to bring probably more people here who are in the living historian category, more people who can present history in a different way. Because we're constantly watching what other people are doing around the country. We talked a little about, is there a resurgence in interest in the Civil War? Yes, there is. But there's also a real question out there about how do you respond to that resurgence? People do not wish to learn the way they may have learned before.
That's right.
And so
be careful what you wish for.
That's right. So if people, and particularly young people, if they want to be involved and they want to learn, how do you meet them where they are?
Mm-hmm.
And with different kinds of programming. And that's a question that's being asked everywhere because I think people are now really realizing the Civil War has an enormous insight into where the country is right now and to – every time I read the word unprecedented in an article about something that's going on today, I can point you directly to, no, it's not unprecedented.
Exactly.
It's a repeat of something that happened a long time ago. And so, and if people understand the Civil War era, I think they'll have a better opportunity to understand where we are in the country today.
You know, we were talking off air a while ago, just the resurgence in interest and obviously, the state of the nation is among. We've been through things before, obviously,
yes.
Such as the Civil War. But you know, just having the things like states' rights. We were sharing things that, you know, a lot of us didn't think a lot about that growing up and stuff. It's, you know, we knew it at a certain level, but really trying to understand a lot. There's nothing new under the sun, right?
Right.
A lot of the issues we're talking about today have their genesis, American Revolution, and then the Civil War, the things that divide us and the things that could unify us. So it's history is not dead. It's not dead. It's alive every day.
It is alive every day, and it is beginning to rhyme, as someone once said. And looking that through that lens, that the Civil War was not that long ago. Americans think 150, 160, 170 years ago was a long time. No, it's not. And so it's one of the perspectives I got from traveling. It's a pretty recent event here. And so we're still experiencing this history, and we're still trying to learn from it, and we're still trying to mold our current thinking around what we think that history was, and we need to take a closer look at it.
Well, you said something off air, and I know we could talk. This could be an afternoon or several.
Most likely, yes.
About your group has looked at 1830s to into 1900. So this thing just didn't happen. Like one day the South succeeded, and how the various things. We don't have time to go into detail, but y'all were looking back at the 1830s on, and even before then, how this was evolving into what it is.
You have people always discussing over that lengthy period of time, the 60 years, about economics, which played a role, but probably not a big one. But then the history of slavery and how that evolved and how the country came to be where it was by 1860 and the struggles with slavery and how the issue of slavery and states' rights sort of began to intermingle itself. People were using states' rights to achieve another goal, leading the Union to basically Abraham Lincoln and others to believe to preserve the Union. We're going to fight this war to preserve the Union. Mm-hmm. That's what this is all about. But it's also, I think, people sort of look at national unity today or national loyalty. This is America. Well, in 1861, this was Tennessee and this was Virginia, and these were places that really hadn't formed quite a very strong national union. And those loyalties ran very high to the states, not only with states' rights, but just loyalty to communities and loyalty to the state is vastly greater than it is today. And all those played, I think, an enormous role in the fact that the war occurred and why people fought and why they did what they did.
Yeah, we've had this sanitized version of history, like the 13 colonists, they just all got together and formed a union. And then you read some of the history books, and then the Civil War, slavery, and the states, and we were expanding, and what states would be free, and what states. There was a lot going on, and I'm starting to talk too much. Let me stop there. But except say, of course, the South had a per capita income. I've read this or heard it's superior to the North because we had labor, we had slaves. See, it was a distorted view. There were some economic issues going on too.
That's another topic of discussion, because I'm sort of the opinion that there were probably only five things invented in America that are really important, and the automobile and the telephone and that and the cotton gin in 1793.
Yes, Eli Whitney and the cotton gin.
You take the cotton gin out or delay its development for 20 years, everything is different.
Yeah.
And so you had extremely distorted economics in the South.
Cotton became king, right? Mechanized.
It just happened to overlap
with the
Industrial Revolution in England, and where the demand was rising at the same time. And I was reading the other day that what did the cotton gin do for productivity in processing just the cotton seeds, the cotton boil, and it was like a factor of 50.
Gosh,
as a factor
changed
of
the world
50 times, and it changed everything tremendously. So. You have all of these happening, which has almost sort of led me to believe the American Revolution ended in 1865. It did not end in 1783. It ended in 1865. But that's when you first get to the point where you have national attitudes about things, or at least there's the belief that we're going to have national attitudes.
Yeah.
And which is incredibly important to the history of the country.
Things are a little bit more complicated than things aren't as simple as they seem sometimes.
That's exactly right.
And people are... in eras, what we're talking about this, you know, you had the agricultural age, and then you had the industrial age, and then, you know, and we're going through right now a major transition, the technology, information. We already have the information, so how are we adjusting to that? History plays a role in every bit of that.
Plays an enormous role, and the good news has been in the past, we always had a lot of time to adjust.
That's right.
I'm a little concerned this one is going to go very fast.
Yes.
And I don't know what that means.
And then let me, we didn't talk about this, but the way education, and I mean, growing up, you know, you would be you'd be in elementary school, be all the presidents in the clouds. You at least you had some history of the Civil War. You had some American Revolution. Today, with our modern society, the whole public education thing, we don't learn about our history. And then you talk about no common language. I mean, yeah, it's just so, it's moving so fast, the globalization of our world economy. But you can go back to the Civil War and see some factors involved even back then.
Oh, I think so. And teaching of history and education is hard.
Whose history are you teaching?
Whose history are we going to teach?
Teaching the winners.
That's right. And how do we view it? And what was real history and what was not? And when does history, particularly coming through the Civil War and then all the way up to the 1890s, which is the beginning of the Lost Cause era.
The Lost Cause, yes.
And so now we begin to invent history a little bit, I think. But it's painful to teach. And there are other eras, the post-Civil War era, Reconstruction, is just really painful to even talk about. But it's almost necessary because I see so many parallels to Reconstruction with what's going on now.
Oh, no question.
And if we have all of that, maybe it might make it easier to talk about, but I'm not sure it's easier to accept. But
that's right.
We're trying to do a few things like that in the roundtable. Say, let's talk about Reconstruction. Let's talk about it up through the end of at least the Grant presidency, and to give us some more basis in fact. To think about.
You know, in the modern era, I've been part of in what I've done my life is cultural change. I didn't realize changing culture or trying to change culture and the Civil War, a way of life, a way of lives, not just the South, the North. And one day we're going through a massive period of changing the way we live, think, and you said today it's warp speed.
Yes.
But, it's still, you know, the Ku Klux Klan, for instance. You hear either they were saving the Southerners from the, you know, we don't have time for all this, but it's complicated and it needs to. But it explains a little bit how we are the way we are today.
Oh, I think it does. I think if you look at the challenges that people felt in those eras, how did they look for solutions? And in some cases, they looked to vigilantes for solutions.
That's right. That's right.
And which makes it all the more complicated.
Man, I could spend all afternoon just trying to listen and learn. But thank you so much for being with us today. Ken Patton, Cumberland Mountain Civil War Roundtable. History is still – what past is not past, Faulkner said. So we're
still with us every day.
And thank you for sharing, and Godspeed.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
We're through.